something we've been talking about a lot lately is COP26, the conference that has been going on, of course, overseas. And we've had, well, not we, Evan has had Michael Bernstein on the show to sort of walk us through it. He is the executive director of Clean Prosperity, a Canadian nonprofit that works toward market-based solutions to the climate crisis. And Michael, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you.
Now, COP26 is winding down. Evan doesn't have a show tomorrow, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk us through, first of all, the latest developments and what you think we're going to be walking away from COP26 with. So tell us first, we're hearing today that Canada is committed to zero emissions cars, shipping routes. Walk us through those, if you can. What's new in this?
Sure. Well, so COP, really, you can think of it in two parts. There's the official part where countries are trying to all agree collectively on some shared responsibilities going forward for what commitments they're each going to make, how they're going to track their commitments, when they're going to report on them. And that's the really hard part because, you know, getting 200 countries plus to agree on these rules is a big mess. And so we're going to see if we end up with real rules coming out of this or not. That's the part that's still unknown. But I'd say the more encouraging part is the second piece, which is that you have countries and the private sector taking the opportunity of COP while this issue is in the spotlight to announce all sorts of side deals. And so Canada, as you said, has made a number of them and a number of really encouraging ones. A couple of the big ones were their commitment to cut methane emissions by 75% by 2030. That'll have a big impact. They've also talked about ending fossil fuel subsidies internationally by next year. And as you say, there's a commitment around heavy, medium and heavy duty vehicles and shipping to move that towards net zero emissions as soon as 2035. So there's a whole series of announcements that Canada has made. And now, of course, the real work begins after this to actually implement all these commitments.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the criticism that I've heard coming out of COP26 is that there's been all sorts of promises that have been made, and it might sound significant, but some of them don't actually involve a lot of action. So when you think about the actionable things that Canada is going to be doing as a result of some of these commitments, what are you most excited about?
Well, I just want to say that's absolutely a valid concern. And, you know, these are just words on a page right now. And I think people are right to be skeptical. Our government's actually going to follow up. So we really need to see if these words are followed by action. Now, the top things I will be looking for are, first, I think Canada has made a pledge to cap oil and gas emissions starting in 2025 with a target, which is just 3 years away. So we'll need to see what kind of target gets put on that. Secondly, Canada's talked about moving to a completely clean electricity grid as soon as 2035. And that is really ambitious when you're talking about big infrastructure. So we're going to need to see what policies they put in place there. And then I think thirdly, we'll see what actual regulations or legislation they put in place to meet some of their transport commitments that they've made at this COP and even before it. So there's a lot to be done, and I think the next few months will tell us a lot about whether the government is really serious about what they've pledged.
So it's interesting because you just called that a very ambitious goal, I think is the word that you used, for 2035 when we're talking about the clean energy grid, for example. But some people who don't know anything about, you know, the energy sector or what would be involved in that might be thinking, well, 2035, that's quite a few years away. How can the government not get their stuff together? So can you just break that one down for us? Like, what is involved in creating a completely clean energy grid in this country?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would probably be, if I was listening to this, I'd probably have the same reaction. But the reality is that infrastructure projects like big electrical plants take many years to approve, engineer, build. So that's one issue. Another issue is just, you know, we have not figured out yet how to move completely to renewable energy sources like wind, solar, hydro. And we have parts of our country that have very clean electricity today. Ontario, for example, BC would be another example. But then there's other areas like Alberta and Saskatchewan where a large percentage, 70, 80% of their electricity today is coming from fossil fuels like coal and natural gas. So this is not something that can just be done overnight. A lot of planning needs to go into this, and a lot of thought also needs needs to go into. We have to make sure this is reliable. We want clean energy, but it also has to be affordable. It also has to work. So that's why this is so complicated and why 2035 in those terms really is kind of almost like tomorrow.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know if you were listening to the show, but in the last segment, we were interviewing a University of Saskatchewan professor about some comments made by the premier here in Saskatchewan regarding wanting more autonomy. So you hear stuff like, you hear comments like that from some of the provinces, and it doesn't give me a lot of hope that they're going to get on board with some of the provinces that are, the promises that are being made by our federal government. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think there certainly is hesitancy from places like Premier Mo. And I think that's starting to change. I think people are increasingly recognizing that we have, that this isn't really about a sacrifice anymore, that moving to a cleaner electricity grid, low carbon products, low carbon economy, that there's opportunity there. There's investment to be had. There's jobs to be created. So I think it's starting to change. But I think the reality is the federal government is now signaling that they're going to put in place more regulations that force the issue, that don't rely, you know, on the goodwill or cooperation of provinces. But that's going to create some pretty tense negotiations over the next few months. So I think we're in for an interesting period here as these policies start to be put in place.
Now, Michael, we just got a couple minutes left, but I want to hear more about the promise, the commitment over zero emission cars. There's a lot of people listening to the show in their car right now. What should they know about that commitment?
Well, what they should know is first that if they want to keep the car they have, they'll be able to do that. These commitments really are about new sales. But the reality is that when it comes to passenger vehicles, and that includes trucks, like, you know, light duty trucks, SUVs, those kinds of things, the market is moving very quickly. And while we may not see it today, within a few years, there are going to be many options for electric vehicles that are going to be cost competitive with the internal combustion engine vehicles that most of us have today. So while it may seem like a big change, it is already starting. And you're even seeing car companies starting to make those commitments. GM, for example, saying, you know what, by 2035, we're only going to sell electric models. So this is, in the next few years, I think there's going to be a big transformation, but it will, I believe, be affordable for Canadians.
I love to hear that, Michael. Michael Bernstein, thanks so much for joining us. Michael Bernstein, of course, the Executive Director of Clean Prosperity, a Canadian nonprofit that works toward market-based solutions to the climate crisis. And thank you, Michael, for keeping us apprised of everything going on at COP26.